Amen. Well, let me say hello to everyone. And I just want to go ahead and make it sure for you that your eyesight is good. Your vision is good. You do not have to make an appointment with the eye doctor tomorrow. Yes, I'm standing before you bringing the word of God tonight. Pastor Joel asked me last month to stand in for him tonight. And normally, you know, we joke from time to time. And so I had to look at him, you know, a couple of times. Making sure he wasn't joking, but it's real. It's real. So I'm standing here tonight. And with that said, I thank God so much for Pastor Joel. I can't express in words really how much he has helped me. He really is a divine connection for me in my life. And I thank God for Pastor Joel. I cherish our relationship. I cherish our friendship. I cherish in him being my pastor, even our pastor. And I honor and respect him. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity to stand before you tonight, because I know, and you know, don't too many people stand here tonight and teach the word. So I'm gratefully honored for that tonight. And so, Pastor Joel, in your absence, I want to say thank you once again for this opportunity tonight. Well, just as we were singing that song, "You're All I Want, You're All I Need," I was reminded of David, as he said in Psalms 42, verse 1, that where he said, "As the deer panted for the water, so does my soul long it after you, and I long to worship you." See, that's what I love about David. He was a praiser. You know, thinking about it, what a great example to learn about praise from one who praised God, where we even know that he was a man after God's own heart. And as we know, success leaves clues. So we can look at the life of David and see that he was a praiser. Even where he said in Psalms chapter 34, verse 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually," key word there, "continually be in my mouth." So that lets me know that praise isn't limited to a praise service. Praise should be more than just on a Wednesday night or when we're singing a song with the congregation, just as we were, or even on a Sunday morning. Praise is in that of a lifestyle. A lifestyle. And the thing that I love about David, even in the Psalms, chapter 22 there, you know, David, he always spoke about his situation, but he never stayed there. You know, in Psalms chapter 22 and verse 1, he said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He felt alone there. But as it goes on down into Psalms there, verse 22, he said, "I will declare thy name among the brethren, and I will praise thee in the congregation." But he didn't stop there. It rolled over into Psalms 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And David knew about being a shepherd because he himself was once a shepherd, and he provided there for his sheep. So he was able to say, even in the midst of no matter the situation or the circumstance, "The Lord is my shepherd. I know it looks like he's not going to come through. I know it looks like that he has forsaken me, but I know the Lord, he is my shepherd, and he will deliver me today just like how he did yesterday, because he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever." We shouldn't limit praise to just a praise service. Praise ought to be a lifestyle, flowing daily from our lips, continually from our lips. I even remember growing up here in the church in the youth at the time, Brother Carl Ray and Miss Carolyn, they're here. They were on the praise and worship team, were the praise and worship leaders at that time. And I even remember as a young man, even after service would be over with, you know, I look at Brother Carl and his lips would be moving. And I'm like, what in the world is Brother Carl doing? You know, and Miss Carolyn is walking beside him. And I'm like, if he really want to talk to Miss Carolyn, why don't he just stop and turn and speak to her, you know, and just converse, you know? And I was like, I said, okay, I'm just going to observe. Because they see, that's one thing I learned to observe. My dad taught me that at a young age. Son, whenever you go somewhere, observe first, because you always get the opportunity to speak. So there I was observing as a young man. And I'm like, man, he just keep continually moving his lips. That was on a Sunday. That was even on a Wednesday. You come back that Sunday, come back that Wednesday, he is moving his lips. Well, I say, you know what? I'm going to get a little bit close to Brother Carl this time. So I started noticing that when he moved his lips, because I was close, the words would come out, thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Father, you are so good. Father, I thank you. Well, what was he doing? He was daily giving God praise. Continually. Even when he got up off the platform and church service is over, he was going out of the church doors praising God. Well, you may ask the question, I'm sure, can praise be a lifestyle? Yes, praise can be a lifestyle. And I'm sure you're probably asking the question, well, if praise can be a lifestyle, Brother Robert, can you help me out? Can you show me in the Word where praise can be a lifestyle? Well, yes. Go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 15, starting with verse 1. And if you don't have a Bible, our ushers, they're standing in the aisle at this time, and they will gladly give you a Bible. Maybe you forgot to bring your Bible with you tonight. Hey, don't sweat it. Just raise your hand. We have a Bible just for you. We want you to look upon the Word of God with us. We want your eyes to read the page. Read the words with us as we deliver the Word of God tonight. John chapter 15, verse 1. Can we live a lifestyle of praise? Verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purged it. Remember that word, he purged it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now, let me give you the definition of the word abide. Abide basically means to dwell, to reside, to live. We are to abide in Christ, which means we are to be connected to Christ. Well, how are we to be connected to Christ? Through his word. Now, I haven't been saved all my life. And I even remember at the young age when I got born again at 12 years old. Well, you know, I got a little bit older and moved on to college. And there I just knew, like, man, I'm on my own. I'm about to have fun. You know, parents back at home, they can't tell me what to do. You know, no more rules, no more regulations, no more curfews. I have my own curfew. Well, here I am, as I said, born again. And I get into college, but I begin to abide. I begin to dwell, live, and reside around the wrong company. And out of that company, their words begin to resonate in my heart, that where I started acting out those things. Well, I begin abiding in those things that were, it took me out of church for 8 years. That where in those 8 years, I was a clubber. Break that down. What's a clubber? A person that goes to the club. So, I mean, every club in town, they knew me on a Tuesday night, on a Thursday night, on a Friday night, even a Saturday night. There I was in the club. So I'm in the club there enjoying myself, so I thought. But even before the club, I had my music playing, you know, getting ready for the club, you know. Then not only that, went over there and got my six-pack of beer. Because in the bars and the club, they were too high. Now, I know, you know, some of y'all may not know about that, you know. So I would be a little drunk before I get to the club. Now, I didn't drive, you know, had to drive the guys and I. But I began to live that lifestyle because of what I was abiding in. Well, I didn't stay unsaved for too long. Got back in the church after 8 years because I made the decision and I realized, man, this lifestyle that I'm living, God has much more for me than this. God didn't create me to be in the club every single time. I mean, I was so much in the club when it came time for food, I really didn't even have food. I remember one morning there was a bowl of cereal that I made with my Raisin Bran. That was the only box of cereal that I had on my refrigerator. Well, I spent so much money there in prepping with clothes for the clubs, you know, and there with the alcohol and that of drinking before the club, I couldn't even get milk that morning. So what did I do? I took that bowl of cereal, put it up on the faucet there in the kitchen, and I had me a bowl of cereal. At that moment, I realized God has much more in store for me than this. So I began, I said, and Lord, what is it? What am I doing? And just then I had got a call from Mom. Now, the thing about Mom, when she called for either two things. The first one would be, son, how are you doing? She would check on me, you know, and things like that. If I needed anything, she would send it. Then the second thing would be, son, if this is the Lord, obey it. If this is not the Lord, don't obey it. Disregard it. And I'm like, oh, my, it's one of those conversations. And at the time this call came in, it was 11:30 at night. Now, Mom is usually in the bed at 8:30. So I said, oh, my, 11:30. Now, just before that call came in, I was getting ready for the club. So there I am dressed and ready and about to go out the door. And just as my hand is about to touch the doorknob, the phone rings. Now, you know, with the cell phones, you can set the ringtone to, you know, like family, friends and, you know, things like that. So Mom and Dad had a certain ringtone. So as I was touching the door and I heard that ringtone, I said, oh, my, what could it be? I said, is it one of those thus saith the Lord? Because Mom, she was a woman of prayer. So I pick up the phone. It's 11:30. And so I say, you know what? I'm going to act like I'm asleep. So there I am in front of the door. Hello. And I mean, I'm so into character. I have my eyes closed while this is going on. So I'm saying, hello. She's like, son, did I catch you? Were you asleep? I say, yeah, but I'm all right. And I was like, oh, my. I didn't tell the truth, but I was ready to go to the club. And so she said, son, I don't know what you're about to do, but the place where you're about to go is trouble. And I said, Mom, sleep, Mom, sleep. What you talking about? Where I'm going? I'm in the bed. I'm in the bed. She said, well, son, if it's not the Lord, disregard it. Don't listen to it. So I said, okay, I'm going to get back in the bed. All right. Thanks for calling. So I hung up the phone. Now this is in my unsaved moment. Now, you know, I hung up the phone and I'm looking like, man, why did I answer the phone? Because I knew when mom spoke, she told the truth. She was a woman of prayer. It was at that time, well, actually that night at the club, things did get wired. It went crazy because the guys that I normally would hang out with got into a brawl. And I mean, it was ugly. I mean, my phone was just blowing up at 3 o'clock in the morning. What happened? And I was just in the bed like, thank you, Lord, for having mama to call. Thank you. But it was at that time I realized, I said, man, God has much more in store for me. And I mean, both of those things that happen all in the same day. And so out of that, I said, you know what, Lord, I surrender my all. I give it to you. And I started getting in the word. Just as Jesus said, he's the vine, we're the branch. We're to abide in him. We are to stay connected to him. Now, overnight, my worldly actions didn't change. But I began to abide in the word of God and that of reading the word of God. Then got in church, and out of church, there were different people that stood out to me that I saw that were living for God. And I started hanging around these men. I started to hang around these couples. And I realized, I said, man, that's the life that I want. That's the life that I desire. Oh, I desired that life. So I began to abide. I began to dwell and reside and live around them. And as I began to abide around them, the things of the world began to drop off. As I started reading the word of God and abiding in the word of God, the things of the world began to drop off. That beer that was tasting so good for a season now is tasting bitter and is not sweet because the word of God, it is taking its place. The word of God is getting rooted and grounded in me, that where the ways of the world now, I don't have those ways living on the inside of me. And I begin to dwell in the things that God has for my life. And so we must, you know, realize that when we abide in the word of God, he's the one that purge. He's the one that prunes. Why? Because we're connected to him. We're abiding in him. And as we abide in the word of God, just like when I was unsaved, I was abiding in the ways of the world, where I started doing the things of the world, that where you could look at me and tell, this brother is not a brother in Christ. This brother is a brother of the world. But as I begin to abide and dwell and live and reside in the word of God started taking course, and God was pruning me, that where the desire for beer was dropping off, where the desire to smoke was dropping off, where the desire and that of spending my money loosely and not being a steward of the word a steward of my money, it helped me realize that I am to be a steward over the money that God has given me with the job, because with that job, he's given me increase. So as we abide in the word of God, that is the only way we can daily have a lifestyle of praise. I even remember there with the couple there at the church on the weekends, we would watch Alabama football, Roll Tide Roll. Now I know we have some Ole Miss fans in the house. Got to pick on my brother Jesse over here. You know, he's an Ole Miss fan, even played for Ole Miss there. And so with Eli Manning, so we pick from time to time about it. But I began to become an Alabama football fan because of these people that I was dwelling around. They love Alabama football so much. And because of me abiding and dwelling around them, that rubbed off on me. And I became an Alabama football fan because I was in the presence of couples that loved each other. I was in the presence of men that loved God, and that rubbed off on me. And I noticed that how when I would be around them, I would lift my voice to cheer for a football team. I noticed that even when a football game would come on, that I would be on time for that football game. I even noticed that when Alabama would play, I even knew the records. I even knew the season. I mean, I even knew the record for that season as well as the players. And so as I was there sitting, I'm like, my God, the revelation hit me. A life of praise. If I can be here and cheer for an Alabama football team that doesn't even know my name, that doesn't even know at the time that I am watching them, if I can lift my voice when they are scoring a touchdown at the top of my lungs, surely I can praise the one who created me. If I can be on time for a football game, when I say on time, if the game was at 3 o'clock, I was there at 2 o'clock because I didn't want to get caught up in the traffic. So I was there before time. Now, surely if I can be on time for a football team that didn't create me, that doesn't even know my name, surely I can be on time for the one who created me when it comes to church service. No matter what church service it is, be it 8:30, 10 o'clock or 11:30, I will be on time. Why? Because I know what God has done for me. I will daily lift my voice and praise the Lord. Can we live a lifestyle of praise? Yes, but only in what? Abiding. Abiding in the word. See, that what we abide in, that is what will be coming off the fruit of our lips. So when we're leaving work and on our way to church, can we lift our voice and praise God? Yes, we can. On our lunch break, while we are warming up our meal that maybe the wife has prepared for us, or maybe we cooked ourselves, can we praise God? Yes, we can. Even in the middle of rain on the way to church, can we praise God? Yes, we can. Why? Because of the word that is on the inside of us, that where even though it may be raining on the outside, because I'm reminded of what God has done for me, all of the promises that he has laid before me, even the benefits that he has given me, he has been good to me every day, all day, every single day. And I will not allow the rain to stop me from coming to church, with meeting with my brothers and sisters in Christ, where we can come together in one heart, one voice, and one mind, and lift up the name of Jesus, that where he is glorified and honored. Why? Because the word is in me. The word is in you. The word is in you. Now, let's go over to chapter 15 and verse 13. Can we live a life of praise? Yes, we can. How? By abiding in the word of God. Why? Because we're connected to the vine, Jesus. God is the husbandman. He prunes. He purges. Amen. So don't be concerned about any habits. Just get in the word. Don't be concerned about negative thinking. Just get in the word. The word of God will help you. The word of God will change you. Hebrews. Did I say that right? Hebrews. I think I told y'all 15, 13. It's actually chapter Hebrews 13 chapter. Hebrews 13 chapter. In the 15th verse. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That word is continually is again. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. As I said, offer the sacrifice of praise continually. Verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. I have that underlined in my Bible. Underline those two words, forget not. Now, praise, I went ahead and looked it up. I'm going to spell it out for you. I looked it up, what it means in Greek. The word is A-I-N-E-S-I-S. A-I-N-E-S-I-S, which praise here means presented to God for some benefit received. Think about how it said in verse 16, forget not. Yeah. forget not. Also, as we know in Psalm 68, verse 19, David said, blessed be the Lord who daily loaded us down with benefits. So in that of living a life of praise, we can have that life of praise daily. Why? Because we forget not all that God has done for us. Like I said, in that of with the football team, if I can cheer for a team, I mean, think about it, people. Think about it. They don't even know my name. They don't even know I'm watching the game. But here I am. Roll Tide, roll. And surely Alabama has not done anything for me but allow me to enjoy a great football game. But because I have the word of God in me, I forget not what his benefits. I forget not what all that he's done for me. I can daily lift up my voice and give him praise. Why? Because I'm reminded of what he's done for me in his word. You know, think about it on the, you know, when people come to you and they say, did you hear on the news today? Oh, the economy, we're in a recession. Well, what are they doing? They're bringing words to you because of what they abiding in hearing a few minutes ago or even at that moment. Now, because they brought those words to us, either we will receive those words or we will lift up the words of God concerning that situation. Example, when someone calls and say, did you hear on the news about what they said, the economy, the recession? Our response should be as a body of Christ. Yes, I heard the news, but I heard the news also of Philippians 4:19 that says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is not limited. So I will not be limited with my lips to praise him. Why? Because God is well pleased when I praise him, just like you are well pleased when people praise you. Think about it on your job. A meeting is going on, and in that meeting, your boss gets you to stand up and says that you are the employee of the month, and people begin to praise you. They begin to applaud you. Oh, great job. Even the boss said, hey, you need to look at so-and-so because they're doing a great job. What does that do for you? It will make you not only feel good, it will not only make you feel like, man, I feel proud. You get acknowledged. May even cause you to be a little bit more early on time for work. Now, I'm not saying you're late. I'm just using an example. So out of that, what you are well pleased that now when you rise up to get ready for work, all you can think about is how the people have praised you there at the job. And when you walk there on the scene, people are acknowledging you. People are praising you for the good works you have done, for the good deeds you have done, and what they want to follow you. Why? Because now you are the example. The same will be for us as a body of Christ when we lift our voice and people are realizing that regardless of the news that we have heard, have you heard the news in that of the crime rate going up in this area over here? Yes, I heard the news, but I heard the news of Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, that says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So I'm not moved by a crime rate, but I will lift my voice and thank God that I am protected. Not only will I lift my voice and thank God that I am protected, but I will even pray for that community that where the crime rate will go down, and God will be well pleased with that, and God will what will move on my behalf, because all I'm doing is putting in his ears, his very words. He's already given me the authority, you the authority, that whatever we bind on earth, he will bind in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, he will loose in heaven. But he needs words. He needs the fruit of our lips to speak that out? Can we daily live a life of praise? Yes, we can. But we can only live a life of praise continually and daily. Number one, when we abide in the word of God, and with us abiding in the word of God, we will not forget what he has done for us. We are to be a people of praise. We are to be a people that are showing forth the praises of God because he delivered us from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So no matter where you are, what's going on in life, we should be able to lift our voice and say, thank you, God. You are a good God. You are a faithful God. You are a covenant keeping God. And when I put my trust in your word, when I remind myself of your word, it's just like you when you created the earth there in the beginning. You said, let there be light. And there was light. So when I begin to lift up my voice and say, Lord, I thank you that you're going to deliver me out of this situation because you delivered me over 2,000 years ago with your son, Jesus Christ. And if God delivered me back then without me asking him to do it, how much more will he deliver me in this present state when I ask him according to his word, because his word is abiding in me and he is abiding in me also. So therefore, when I speak, I will bear much fruit. You will bear much fruit. Why? Because we're singing and speaking forth the praises of God. All he needs for us is, church, is to speak his will right here on earth. So when we praise God, we're lifting up our voice and he is well pleased, and there he will be in our midst every single time of the day. You may say, now I thought God was with me. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Yes, that is true. But with that in mind, let's go back to Brother Carl Ray as an example and close it. Brother Carl Ray and I are good friends. Brother Carl Ray and I, we converse. We have conversation. But say I start coming to Brother Carl with gossip. Now, Brother Carl, he loves me dearly. But I'm bringing words to him that he doesn't abide in. I'm bringing words to him that he doesn't dwell in. Now, does he still love me? Yes. Will he still have my back? Yes. But it is limited. He will even get to the point that when I come to Brother Carl, he'd be like, oh, my, there go that brother. Go that brother. Let me go this way. I hope Brother Earl didn't see me. It's not that he doesn't love me. It's because the words that I'm saying is not in him. So when I bring gossip to him, it makes him turn the other way. Not that he doesn't want to have conversation with me. He desires to dwell and abide with me. But my words, he can't dwell with me because of my words. Just as we read in John 15, abide in me and I in you so you can bear what? Much fruit. God does the pruning. He does the purging. And as much as Brother Carl loves me, oh, he'll say, I love you, brother. But you got to stop bringing that gossip to me. And that is what God is saying, friends. Yes, I love you. I want to move on your behalf, but I need my words in your mouth so I can move on your behalf. So whenever things aren't going right in our life, let's hearken in and listen to the words that we are saying. Because all we have to do is say the word of God that is abiding in us. That is abiding in us. As it said, what? Forget not. Forget not. Yes, this situation is going on, but forget not. I delivered you. Forget not. Forget not. And out of that, a life of praise will continually to come daily because we forget not. what God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. And he didn't stop there, because out of Jesus Christ, we are able to live what? The good life. But we're only able to live the good life in that of abiding in the word. In closing, pull up to me in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Amplified on the screens here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 here in the Amplified. No, I just threw it on you in a moment there. But it's okay. It's okay. There is a good life. A good life that Jesus has set for us. But we're only able to walk in that good life when we abide in the word of God. Not in the ways of the world, but in the ways of God. Let's read it. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now, how are we going to live this good life? By abiding in the word of God. As we abide in the word of God, we will what? We will take paths which he prepared ahead of time. We're not taking our path, which will lead to destruction, but we're going to take his path, which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So when we speak the word of God daily, when we speak the word of God concerning our situation and lifting up a voice of praise, we are taking paths that where God can deliver us into that of that good life that he has set before us. So I encourage you, friends, I even encourage myself, praise the Lord daily. Praise the Lord daily. He is worthy of the praise. He is worthy of the praise. Forget not all that he has done for us. All he has done for us. So even on the way out of church tonight, you can praise him. Lord, thank you for my church. Lord, thank you for the clothes that I have on that you provided. I praise you for it. God, you are so good to me. The lifestyle that I used to live, I don't live it no more, because I know how much you love me. Father, thank you. I praise you. He's worthy of the praise. So, friends, I encourage you. Let's live a life of praise. Let's not limit it to a praise service. Because I don't know about you, but I need to praise God more than two times. Two times out of the week. He's been too good for me to be silent. He's been too good for me to be quiet. We serve a good God. We serve a faithful God. He's worthy. So let's live a life of praise. And when we live that life of praise, God is well pleased with us. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father, you're such a good God. We praise you, Father. Worthy are you, and Father, we love you. Thank you, Father, for your word that has gone forth tonight. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that as it has gone upon the hearts of the many here. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that even as they're going away tonight, Father, that you're just continually revealing, Father, your love, your ways to them, Father, that they can live the good life. They can live the good life. It's not a struggle to live the good life. We just have to abide and stay connected in you and take those paths that you have pre-prepared for us and pre-arranged for us. And it will be done for us easily. And so, Father, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just.